Your brothers and sisters in Christ, you shall have no other gods, is the first commandment. It is not, there are no other gods. There are many gods, there are many powers in this world who promise life and well-being, who promise a fulfilled life, safety from dangers, and hope for the future. The question that Scripture puts to us is not, do you believe in God? Rather, the question is, who or what is your God? And do you believe in the true God and in Him alone? In the time of the Old Testament, the biggest rivals for the true God were Baal and Ashtoreth. What was their attraction? There were deities that promised good weather and fertility for man and animal. And these are the most important things for a good life, even for survival in an agrarian society. They were specialized in growth. It is as if today somebody tells you, follow this idea or this man or this God, and you will have a good paying job. The house prices will rise, the stock market will go up, and there will be a never-ending flow of cheap oil. Throw in an additional sexual fulfillment for all, and there you have a modern Baal, a modern Ashtoreth. You might think that this sounds awfully much like a campaign platform in an election year. And sometimes politicians try to take on a godlike stature when they promise wealth, health, and safety. But their pretenses usually unravel fast. And instead, as gods, they reveal themselves as the more or less impotent human beings they really are. So politicians probably are not the greatest competition for the one true God in our time. What or who is it? Certainly also not the stars of American Idol, though the very title of that show indicates how desensitized we have become, that the word idol is turned into something positive instead of an abomination, as it should be. Luther identified in his time the most common idol as money. And I think that in this respect, the times have not really changed. Mammon is among us, and money makes the world go round. It promises to soothe the spirit. It gives a feeling of security. And if you don't have it, you might get a sleepless night. Money promises the good life. And even if it cannot defy age and death, it at least can buy you the best health care and can thus prolong your life. And it also can buy you plastic surgery that gives you at least the appearance of eternal youth into old age, as Lisa Presley and Cher and others show. Money is one of those things in the world that are so powerful that it easily becomes an idol. Not that it is evil in itself, but it becomes evil when you trust in it. It has to be treated rightly. It's a creature. It is to be used for good and not for evil, but it is not to be our source of safety, where we derive life and hope from. It is God who gives safety, life, and hope, not any creature, not any powers in this world. Another way in which the first commandment is broken is when God is reimagined. While Moses was on the mountain, Aaron made a golden calf as the image of Yahweh. Margaret, it was not a different God, according to Aaron. It was the God who led them out of Egypt. It was a false image. Aaron gave the people of Israel a reimagined God according to their desires. That not only happens in Israel, it happens also in Christendom. It happened when God was portrayed as one whom we have to appease with our deeds, so that even the center of worship was perverted into the sacrifice of the Mass. It happens when God is reimagined because his portrayal in Scripture is no longer liked, when his commandments are changed because they seem to be too harsh, too old-fashioned. It happens when his portrayal is changed because this jealous God who does not tolerate other gods seems to be no longer fitting in a pluralistic democratic society. It happens when theologians follow their favorite ideas and emancipate themselves from the true portrayal of God as we find it in Scripture. Golden calves have been raised in Christendom, and they will be raised in Christendom, because man's heart is a factory of idols in his fallen state. Only God himself can smash these idols that we erect with his holy word. How then do we keep this commandment? How do we truly honor God and have no other gods? Nothing in this world ultimately gives life, safety, and hope. In the end, life, safety, and hope come from God and God alone. Not directly, mediated through creatures. They are the instruments of his love. But again, they become idols if we no longer see them as the gracious hands of God, but rather as something that exists in itself. Our lives and our future are in God's hands. They do not depend on the money you have or not have. They are not in the hands of the market. They are not in the hands of the powerful of this earth, even though they play God and like to play it. And our lives are certainly not in the hands of the placement committee. These all are only creatures. To distinguish God from idols, we have to know who God is, and we don't have to guess. He told us and is telling us. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is the one who came into this world as a man, as Jesus of Nazareth. He is the one who speaks through the word of the apostles and prophets. Thus we listen to this word, and thus we know who the true God is, and can distinguish this true God from the idols around us and the idols our heart produces. There we see that God's heart is open to us in Christ. Christ has been put forth as a propitiation for our sins. There in Christ we have God as our gracious Father, who makes us his heirs. We truly honor God as the only true God when we hear and believe that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to you and me, reconciling the world, you and me, to himself. To believe in this God, to fear, love, and trust this God above all things, this God who was in Christ, that is the true worship of the true God. Amen.